God's grace is yours in Jesus. Amen. God's word for our meditation today, recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 5, reading from verse 19, as previously read. In the name of him who certainly will come to judge the living and the dead, dear fellow redeemed. A serious question for you. If you were to die tonight, do you know for sure where you're going? That's the question that I posed to some of the students at Fox Valley Lutheran High School this week. Every year I have an opportunity to take some of the seniors through a law and gospel presentation we sometimes call God's Great Exchange. It's a method of sharing the basic truths of the Christian faith with people who maybe don't know what the Bible has to say. And it always starts with a question that's designed to kind of cut to the chase, to uncover where is that person in his or her spiritual life? Where do they think they stand with God? And so we ask, if you were to die tonight, do you know for sure where you're going? In other words, do you think you're going like this way or like that way? You realize that's a question that a lot of people are not very comfortable with, right? Makes them uneasy. They don't want to think about that. And because of that, a lot of them don't. In fact, there are plenty of people who just deny altogether that there's anything after death. You realize that's not a new concept. 2,000 years ago, the Greek Epicureans held to the belief that there is nothing after you die. Which is why when the Apostle Paul came to Athens and preached about the resurrection of the body, the crowds sneered at him. But those beliefs are still around today. For example, you think of John Lennon singing what? Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Or a well-known physicist named Stephen Hawking, who said, and I quote, "Heaven is a fairy story for people who are afraid of the dark." Those ideas are still more and more prevalent in our society today. In a recent survey, it was revealed that only 72% of Americans even believe that there is a heaven, defined as what? A place where people who have lived good lives are eternally rewarded. And less than 60% of Americans believe that there is a hell. You realize what that means? It means there are millions of people, I mean people that you know, maybe love, who believe that there will be no standing before God, there is no accountability, there's no final reckoning, there is no last judgment. Which is why we're here today, on this, the second last week of the church year, a day on which the Christian church typically has taken time to consider what God has to say about Judgment Day. We're here to let God kind of set the record straight about what the future holds, but more importantly, how those future events impact our hearts and lives today. Our theme for today is simply this: the day is coming. A day when Jesus will judge all people, and a day when Jesus will give life to those who hear his voice. Here in our text, Jesus gives us a little glimpse of what's to come. He says, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice, namely the voice of the Son of God, and will come out. In other words, Jesus is saying the day is coming when he's going to bring back to life everybody who ever died, whether they were believers or unbelievers. All those peoples who at the moment of their death had their souls separated from their bodies, right? That's the definition of death, right? When Jesus said on the cross, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, and then he breathed his last, right? His spirit went out of him. That was when he died. On Judgment Day, all of those soulless bodies, God is going to reconstitute. Right, he's going to put them back together, kind of like he did with Adam's body when he made it out of the dust of the ground. Those bodies, whether they were embalmed or sunk at the bottom of the sea or blown up to smithereens or cremated, all of them God is going to put back together, and he's going to bring the soul back that belonged to that body once upon a time, and God won't mix anybody up. You're going to get your body. I'm going to get my body. Julius Caesar's going to get his body. And then with the voice of God, all those dead will come back to life. Isn't that what God said through the prophet Daniel? Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. With those words, God is not only saying that he's going to raise everybody up from the dead, but then he's telling us what's going to happen on that day. They are going to be judged. Judged publicly. You see, the Bible says that when a person dies, that person is judged. That soul immediately goes to either heaven or hell. You think of what Jesus said to the thief on the cross, right? Today, you will be with me in paradise. That soul immediately went to heaven. But you might call that a bit of a private judgment, right? No, nobody except God alone knows which way the soul went. On the last day, when God brings everybody back to life, this judgment will become something very public for all mankind to see. That's the event that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 25. And he says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory with all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, right? All the dead that have come back to life and all the people who never experienced death, they will all be gathered before him. And at that moment, they will be judged. Jesus puts it this way. He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then Jesus will hand down the sentence. To those on his right, he'll say, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. In other words, come enjoy heaven, both body and soul. And to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In other words, to hell with you. Now the question is this. What is Jesus going to use to determine who's going to heaven and who's going to hell? If you're familiar with this account, you maybe remember that Jesus pointed to all the good things that the people going to heaven had done, how they had fed him and clothed him and came to visit him in prison, all the things that the people going to hell had not done, which has left a lot of people thinking, well, there you have it. There's God's answer. God says, basically, if you're good, you go to heaven. If you're bad, you go to hell. Heaven is a reward for good behavior, and hell is a punishment for bad behavior. In fact, they might even find Bible passages that seem to say the same thing. For example, 2 Corinthians 5, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. Or as Jesus says here in our text, all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Now you realize that at first glance, what Jesus is saying there makes perfect sense to our logic. I mean, this is the way we think. Boy, good should be rewarded. Bad should be punished. Right? It's our sense of justice built in each one of us. If somebody's evil, bad things should happen to them. I want people to get what they deserve, whether it's good or bad. But what if the people who do bad, what if the people who have lived evil in their lives are you and me? You know, the Bible says there is no one who does good, not even one. And the Bible says there is a consequence to living a life that is less than perfect. Scripture says the wages of sin is death, like forever. You realize what that means? It means that sinners like us have earned from a just and holy God nothing but punishment forever. God has every right, because of our sins, because of the selfish thoughts we have, because of the godless behavior we show, God has every right on the last day to raise us all up just so he can condemn us, right? It would be a resurrection to condemnation, or as Jesus says, we will rise to be condemned. Unless before that resurrection, Jesus performs a little different resurrection. A resurrection that doesn't take place on the day when he will judge all people, but rather a resurrection that takes place on the day when Jesus will give life to those who hear his voice. Here in our text, Jesus talks about that day when he says, "Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live." So what day is Jesus referring to here? Well, notice it's a time that is not only something that is coming, but it has already come. In other words, this is not some event in the future. It's something that is happening right now. A time when the dead hear the voice of Jesus and live. Now, certainly that could refer to the fact that dead people like Lazarus, or the daughter of Jairus, or the son of the widow at Nain, heard the voice of Jesus and came back to life. That's certainly true. But actually, Jesus is talking about not only people who were physically dead, but those who were spiritually dead. Dead in their sins. Dead because sin separated them from God. People who deserve God's condemnation by nature. People like you and me. In the midst of our spiritual deadness by birth, we were all stillborn spiritually, right? We were all spiritual corpses. And yet Jesus made us a promise. Here's the promise. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Think about that a minute. Whoever hears Jesus' voice, whoever hears Jesus talk about himself, to tell us who he is and what he has done for us to redeem us from our sins, whoever believes that the Father is the one who sent Jesus to dress us in Jesus' righteousness so that we are right in God's eyes, whoever believes that our standing with God is not dependent upon what we do, but what he has done for us, Jesus says that person has eternal life. Notice the tense there. This is present tense. It's not just, well, someday, maybe, might get. Oh, it's that person already has eternal life. For believers, eternal life is not something way off in the future. It's something that God has given us right now. You and I, who were once spiritually dead, God has now, by his Holy Spirit, made us alive. He has planted faith in our hearts, and that's given us a status as children of God, alive right now. As Jesus puts it, you have crossed over now from death to life. So what does that mean for your life and mine? It means three things. It means first, now that Jesus has made us alive, he's given us the ability and the desire to do things pleasing to him. He gives us the ability as God's children to live our lives to his glory, to produce the fruits pleasing to him. How did Jesus put it? I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. On Judgment Day, Jesus Christ is going to point to your fruits, your good deeds, as evidence that he has given you life through your faith in Jesus Christ. That's what those passages are talking about. He's pointing to what people have done as evidence of their Christian faith. Secondly, this means that Judgment Day is not something you need to fear. It's something you can anticipate. It will be the day that is the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to you. This promise: everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's a promise. And finally, this means that you have an answer to the question, so, if you die tonight, you know for sure where you're going? Your answer is the same as mine, and that's, yes, I do. By God's grace alone, through faith in Jesus alone, as promised to me in the scriptures alone, I know that my last day on this earth will be my first day of eternity with God in heaven. And that will be the greatest day of my life and yours too. To God be the glory. Amen.
Hey, thank you. you so much for spending some time with us and worshiping with us online today. We are so glad you fed your faith through the work of Mount Olive, and we'd love to know that you fed your faith. So head on over to MountOliveAppleton.com and click the online friendship register, or just click the link in the description here. It takes about 1 minute to fill out. Thanks so much for spending time with us. God's blessings on your day.